Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. When life gets complicated and you start to feel overloaded and sluggish, it's time to hit the reset button. Today we continue with a series called Resetting My Life. In this series, Pastor Rick looks into the Bible and shares the steps you can take to reset your life and experience positive, lasting change. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a wonderful resource called Journey with Jesus. This beautifully illustrated book will help you uncover deep biblical and historical insights into the most important event in human history. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How to Prepare for a Life Reset.
Why is it important to find some people to support my reset? Couple verses. Look at this verse. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, a person can stand alone, standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Two people working together, you're not gonna be defeated. Three people, that's even better. Four people is even better than that. A small group is what we're talking about. Look at the next verse. If one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. You will fall in your reset. You will make mistakes. You're not perfect. None of us are. And in your desire to be a different kind of man, the man that God wants, to be a different kind of woman, the godly woman that God created you to be, you're gonna fall. You're gonna make mistakes. You need other people in your life who are just gonna love you through that, carry you through it, help you through it. You need a small group. Write this down. Community is God's antidote to discouragement and defeat and failure. If you're discouraged, I know why. You're not in community. You're not in a small group all the time. If you feel defeated, if you feel like a failure, it's because you don't have people around you who are giving you a true perspective. I'm not a really good judge of myself. You aren't a really good judge of you. You need people in your life who can see what you can't see. You're a terrible judge of yourself. Now, the Bible says this is particularly true for those of us who are Christians. Romans 12:5, since we're all in one body in Christ, we belong to each other and each of us needs each other. Do you realize that in the body of Christ, in the family of God, you belong to me and I belong to you. And the other people on your row who belong to the family of God are your brothers and your sisters. And that relationship is actually longer lasting than your family relationship. Your physical family, it's not gonna last. People grow up, they get married, they form their own families, they divorce, they separate, they die. Physical families don't last, but your spiritual family is gonna last for eternity, which means that your connection and your commitment to other believers in God's family should be stronger than any other commitment. A political commitment, a financial commitment, a business commitment. Your commitment to the body of Christ is more important because it's the only relationship that's gonna last forever. I'm a 6'2" tall, white, American male, overweight. Now, you would think that I would have most in common with other 6'2" male, white Americans who vote like I do. But actually, God says, I have more in common with Alice, who is short, Asian, female. And my commitment to her is actually greater than to people who look like me, come from my background, and vote like me. Does that make sense? And as a brother to my sister in Christ, I am, if you mess with her, you hurt her, then you're gonna mess with me because I'm her brother. And if you put her down, I'm not gonna let you put her down because we're in the family of God. And that's a different kind of loyalty that you may have never thought of before. But God says, if you're my child, I expect you to be more loyal to your brothers and sisters than to people who think like you, look like you, act like you, or have the same background as you do. That makes sense, but it's a new way of thinking. So Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not give up the habit, circle the word habit, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. Why do we meet together in small groups? To encourage each other. Now, let's be honest. COVID was a small group killer. It was a church attendance killer. We didn't even meet for a year and a half. And a lot of those people got out of the habit of coming to church or being in a group. Some of you have been in small groups in the past, but you're not in an active one right now. Now's the time to get back involved. Let us not give up the habit of being together in a group. Why? That's where you get the encouragement. You can't do this on your own. Here's the fourth preliminary. Eliminate anything unhelpful or unhealthy. Eliminate anything unhelpful or unhealthy. This is another preliminary before you actually start on the reset process. Hebrews 12:1, we should remove anything from our lives that would get in the way and the sin that holds us back. Now, if you've ever gone on a diet, you know what I'm talking about here. Before you do anything else on a new diet, you go into your refrigerator and you take out all the junk food and throw it away. And you go into the kitchen cabinets and you throw away all the stuff that would be a temptation to you. You want to eliminate the junk food so you can get on the straight and narrow way. We worry about junk food and what it does for us, but what about mental junk food? If you want to change your life, maybe you need to unplug or cancel your cable subscription for a few months. If you want to really change your mind, stop the junk that's coming in over the internet and the stuff of social media. I read an article yesterday that depression is at the highest level it's ever been in teenagers and young adults in their 20s. Highest it's ever been. Why? Because they're the highest consumers of social media. And they're looking at everybody's so-called perfect life and they're comparing themselves and they're feeling left out and they feel like I'm never gonna measure up, and they're always comparing and they're depressed. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the CEV version says this, we must get rid of everything that slows us down or slows down our progress, because we wanna make progress in our lives, especially those sins that just won't let go. That's those habitual things that hold on to us. We'll talk about those. We must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us, and we must keep our eyes on Jesus who leads us. So here's the question, write this. This fourth question, write this down. What do I need to get rid of or let go of? What do I need to get rid of or let go of? It might be a relationship that's pulling you down. A friend that's not really being a friend. They're dragging you in the wrong direction. If I stand up here and you're down there and I'm trying to lift you up and you're trying to pull me down, who's gonna win? There's no question. It's easier to pull somebody down. So while I'm trying to help them, pray for them, love them, help, invite them to church, but you should have as your closest friends those people who are actually making you a better woman, a better man, not tearing you, taking you the wrong direction. So what do I need to let go of? Maybe there's some stuff, some reading material in my house. I need to get it out of the house. I need to clear out. Only you will know what cleaning out, what, you know, eliminating anything unhelpful and healthy will mean to you. Now, one of the things in the days ahead we're gonna have to work on are attitudes. Because there are some attitudes that need to be cleaned out of our lives, and there's some new ones that need to be replaced. We need to put on good attitudes and throw out bad attitudes. That's easier said than done, but we'll talk about how you do that. How do you replace an attitude that you've had for 20 years? How do you uproot it in your life? Colossians, the Bible says this, chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. You used to live... It's talking about before you became a Christian. You used to live according to selfish desires. In other words, Before I knew Christ, I just did what was best for me. Didn't matter if it hurt anybody else. I just did what was best for me. You used to live according to selfish desires when your life was dominated by them. Me, 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 myself, and me. Okay? But now you must get rid of all these things. And he just gives a few examples of bad attitudes. Anger, hot temper, hating others who believe or vote differently than you. No insults, so that rules out a lot of the social media. No insults or filthy talk must ever come from your lips. And stop lying to each other, for you have put off your old self with its habits, and you have put on your new self. That's a reset. That's what we're gonna do in the weeks ahead. Now, since we're gonna do this, let me wrap this up. Since we're gonna do this series on resetting your life, different areas, and you always will need resets at different parts of your life, I went and looked up the word reset in Scripture and found that it's only used one time in the Bible, the word reset. In the Hebrew language, the word reset in Hebrew is only used in the book of Isaiah. Now here's the background, because this means a lot. The nation of Israel had been beaten in war by the empire of Babylon. And when they won the war, they took the entire nation as prisoners of war back to Babylon, which is Iraq. So an entire nation was transported from living in Israel. They moved them all to Iraq, where they were prisoners of war for 70 years. They're pretty discouraged. They're pretty displaced. They're like the Ukrainians in Poland right now, displaced because of a war. Only that was escaping. This was taking them hostage. And it said that they destroyed the capital of Jerusalem, the holy city. So God's people are pretty discouraged. And in the midst of all this, God did not want them to realize, did not want them to think that he'd forgotten them. He still loved them, and he was going to rebuild and reset their lives. And here's what he says in Isaiah 54. This is God talking. The mountains may shake and the hills may crumble. In other words, everything may be falling apart in your life, but my unfailing love for you will never be shaken. Everything else could be shaken in your life, but nothing could shake me in loving you. And it's never gonna stop. And my promise of peace will never change, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And then he turns to this city of Jerusalem that as the symbol of hope for Israel. And he says this, oh, Jerusalem, you suffering, storm-ravaged city needing comfort. Maybe you feel like that. You feel like you're suffering. You've been ravaged by trials and storms, and you need comfort. He says, I will rebuild you with priceless jewels, and I will reset, there's the word, I will reset your foundation with sapphires. What's he talking about? It's a metaphor saying, I'm gonna rebuild you. I've not forgotten you. I've never stopped loving you. We're gonna rebuild you, your life, and your city, but this time, we're not gonna build it on the shaky sand that can, you can lose your foundation. I'm not gonna build your foundation of your life on clay. I'm not even gonna build your foundation on cement. I'm gonna build it on precious jewels, sapphires. In the next verse he says, and rubies for your walls. Sapphires and rubies. Why would God build a foundation on precious jewels? Because they are unchangeable. Everything else can rust or rot or decay, but sapphires and rubies don't decay and rot. They last, they're eternal. That's why they're so expensive. Sapphires are incredibly expensive. Rubies are incredibly expensive. The top of the line ruby can cost $1.1 million a carat for a really good ruby. There was recently a ruby sold, 30 carat ruby for nearly $35 million. 35 carat ruby for $35 million. He says, I'm gonna build your foundation not on stone, but on the most precious things on earth. More precious than gold. Actually, even more precious than diamonds. Diamonds are much more available than either rubies or sapphires. He said, I'm going to build your life on a precious foundation, and it's going to last. So what I recommend as we start this series on resetting your life, that you listen to what God told Job to do and you follow that. Look on the screen. Job chapter 11 says this. And Job gone through a lot of hard time. He said, put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God and get rid of all the evil and wrong from your home. All that junk that's in your home, you need to clean it out, eliminate it. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. And he says, if you do that, here's the promise. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that have passed and remembered no more. It said, you know all that hurt from your past? It'll be like water under the bridge. It's just gone. How long do you remember water under the bridge? It's gone. You forget it. And he said, your life will be brighter than the sunshine at noon, and you will live secure and full of hope. Now, guys, friends, as somebody who loves you, this is my prayer for you, that in this series, there will be a life reset where you go to a new level of living. And all that junk in your past, it'll be like water under the bridge. It's gone. You don't have to deal with it anymore. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's over. And then your life starts shining bright as sunshine at noon. You live securely. You live full of hope. That's my prayer for you in this series. Now, most of you are already believers. You've stepped across the line. You're in the family of God. But we still have to have resets at different points in our life. Some of you have not yet stepped across the line. And so the last verse is a verse for you. And the Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. When someone becomes a Christian, you invite the Lord into your life, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. That's what you call a real fresh start. That's called salvation. So whether I've already done the first step or I need to do the first step, all of us can take the next step in a reset of our lives. It's going to be cool. Let's bow our heads. So as I pray, just follow me in this prayer. That God, I want you to do something new in me starting this week. I'm asking you to do something new in me. You make everything new. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos in my life. You told me to forget the former things and to focus on the new things you're gonna do in me. I wanna do that. And then say, Lord, help me to spend some time this week pinpointing specifically what I want changed in me. To look closely at myself, to test myself, and find out what you want to change in me. And then, Lord, I'm asking you to help me to find some people who will support my reset. I know that standing alone, it's not gonna work, that I need group support, and I commit to getting in some kind of a group as we work on this life reset in my life. Help me to remember that when I get discouraged, when I feel defeated, when I feel like a failure, it's because I'm not in community at that moment. And Lord, during COVID, it was easy to give up the habit of meeting together. But I commit to being in church every week and being in a small group because I know that's where I'm gonna get the encouragement I need. Finally, Lord, help me to eliminate anything that's unhelpful or unhealthy in my life. And this week, help me to think through what I need to get rid of, what I need to let go of as you prepare me for the new me, the new improved me. I want you to do a reset in my life. You've never invited Jesus in your life. Say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Make yourself real to me. I'm opening my heart to you. And as much as I know how, I'm asking you to come in and save me. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, Pastor Rick created a beautifully illustrated book called Journey with Jesus. This book is stunning. It has a soft vegan leather cover, and it's filled with beautiful glossy photographs and colored mosaics that depict the sacrificial journey Jesus made to save us. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Every year, Christians from all over the world remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by traveling to Jerusalem, where they walk the path that Jesus took on the way to the cross. That path is called the Via Dolorosa, which literally means the way of suffering. Now, since you may not be able to ever travel to Jerusalem, I want to suggest a way for you to celebrate and reflect on and pray about what Jesus did for you on the cross. So I've created a brand new one-of-a-kind resource that will take you through the 15 stops that the Bible tells us Jesus took on the road to Calvary and his death on the cross. Now, we're calling this resource Journey with Jesus. Journey with Jesus is a deluxe hardcover gift edition book that's illustrated with really beautiful photos, high-quality glossy photos of mosaic tile artwork that reflect each of the stops that Jesus made on his journey to the cross. You're not ever going to forget this gift. It's a great gift book to keep and to study over and over again, and it'd make a great gift for your family and your friends, too. This gift book is available when you donate to Daily Hope this month.
We'll send you Journey with Jesus as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the love of Jesus around the world. You'll want to get extra copies to give as gifts to your friends and family members. This one-of-a-kind resource is available only through Daily Hope. Quantities are limited, so be sure to get yours today. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.